You're listening to an African Elements top news story for Wednesday, January 28, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why is the South Sudan Jonglei offensive igniting ethnic fears? The sounds of heavy artillery once again echo across the plains of Jonglei State. In January 2026, the South Sudan People's Defense Forces launched a massive campaign known as Operation Enduring Peace. This operation aims to take back land from opposition groups in the northern parts of the state. However, the name of the operation does not match the fear on the ground. Aid groups and international monitors are sounding the alarm about a possible return to ethnic cleansing. While the government calls this a move for order, the history of this region suggests a darker reality. The current military push began on January 25, 2026. The government gave a chilling order to all civilians and aid workers in specific counties. Residents in Nyaral, Urer, and Akobo were told they had only 48 hours to leave. This area is home to the Lunuer people. These people have long been seen as supporters of the opposition. By removing humanitarian witnesses, the government has created a dangerous vacuum. Aid groups fear that without eyes on the ground, the military will commit atrocities without consequence. The military claims this is a defensive move. Throughout December 2025, opposition forces known as the SPLAIO made significant gains. These forces teamed up with a local militia called the Nuer White Army. Together, they captured several government outposts. The most important gain was the town of Paget. This town is a strategic location that controls movement between the north and the capital city, Juba. Consequently, the government felt it had to strike back hard to keep its grip on power. Politics is the engine driving this military machine. In September 2024, the government announced it would postpone the national elections for the fourth time. The new date is set for December 2026. This delay has destroyed the trust of many citizens and opposition leaders. They feel the current leadership is simply trying to stay in power forever. In many ways, the fight for territory in Jonglei is a fight for bargaining power before the next set of negotiations. The transition to democracy has been long and painful. Even after the 2018 peace deal, the government failed to draft a permanent constitution. Furthermore, it did not set up a proper system for voter registration. These failures are often used as excuses to delay the vote. As the political process stalls, military leaders often turn to the battlefield to settle their differences. This cycle of delay and violence has become a tragic pattern in South Sudan's short history. It is a reminder of how many groups continue to face involuntary servitude and systemic oppression long after formal conflicts were supposed to end. The violence in Jonglei is not just about modern politics. It is also about the way ethnic identities were shaped over time. Long ago, the Nuer, Dinka, and Mole peoples shared the land. Their conflicts usually focused on cattle raiding and access to water. However, these groups were also connected through marriage and trade. The boundaries between them were often fluid. This changed when colonial powers entered the region. British officials tried to organize the population into rigid tribal homelands to make them easier to rule. This colonial legacy created a winner-take-all system for land. It hardened ethnic divisions that were once more flexible. Today, political leaders use these ancient identities to build their own armies. For example, the Lunuer White Army was once a group of youth who protected their cattle from insects using light-colored ash. During the civil wars, they became a powerful militia. They are now a key player in the defense of Nuer territory against government forces. Therefore, what looks like a simple land dispute is actually a battle over the very survival of these communities. Historical trauma plays a major role in the 2026 offensive. The most painful memory is the 1991 split within the Liberation Army. At that time, Riek Machar broke away from the main group led by John Garang. Machar's Nuer forces attacked Dinka civilians in the town of Bor. Thousands of people were killed in what became known as the Bor Massacre. This event left a deep scar on the Dinka people. Many current government leaders are Dinka Bor. They have not forgotten the violence of the past. This historical grievance makes the current fight in Jonglei very personal. When the government targets Lu newer areas, many see it as a form of delayed revenge. On the other side, newer civilians remember the 2013 civil war. During that time, newer people were targeted in the capital city. These memories create a cycle of fear. Both sides believe that if they do not strike first, they will be destroyed. This lack of trust is the biggest obstacle to peace. It shows why understanding the past is essential to solving the problems of today. In 2018, leaders signed a deal called the RARCSS. This stands for the Revitalized Agreement on the Resolution of the Conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. It was supposed to end the civil war and merge the rival armies into one national force. It established a power-sharing government between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar. For a short time, there was hope that the fighting would stop. However, the agreement has mostly existed on paper only. One major failure was the inability to unify the soldiers. The SSPDF remains loyal to Kiir, while the SPLAIO remains loyal to Machar. Instead of becoming one army, they have remained rivals who live in the same barracks. This has left the country with many armed groups that do not answer to a single commander. Consequently, when the political process fails, these groups return to open combat. The 2026 offensive proves that the foundations of the 2018 deal have crumbled. The nation has essentially returned to a state of war. The current conflict in Jonglei features new and dangerous players. One such figure is General Johnson Olani. He leads the Agwaleg militia, which is made up of the Shilluk ethnic group. Olani is a veteran warlord who has changed sides many times. In early 2025, the government successfully brought him into the National Army. He was given a high rank and told to protect the oil fields. His presence in Jonglei is seen as a major threat by the newer communities. Olani's involvement adds a third ethnic layer to the Dinka-Nuer rivalry. Furthermore, his recent orders have been particularly brutal. He was filmed telling his troops to spare no lives and to destroy everything in their path. This includes livestock and the homes of the elderly. This kind of talk is a precursor to war crimes. Observers fear the government is using Olani's militia to do the dirty work of ethnic cleansing. This allows the official army to maintain some level of deniability while the militia clears the land. The military offensive is not the only threat to the people of Jonglei. Hunger is being used as a weapon. Experts use a system called the IPC scale to measure food security. IPC phase 5 is the most dangerous level. It is officially called catastrophe or famine. In early 2026, several counties in Jonglei reached this level. This means that at least 1 in 5 households is facing an extreme lack of food. Starvation and death are now common occurrences in these areas. Conflict is the primary driver of this hunger. When soldiers use scorched earth tactics, they burn crops and kill cattle. This prevents families from feeding themselves. Furthermore, the 48-hour evacuation order forced farmers to leave their land right before the harvest. When aid groups are forced to leave, there is no one to provide emergency food or medicine. This creates a situation where the population is either forced to flee or die of hunger. It is a calculated strategy to weaken the support for opposition forces. These tactics remind many of the struggle for rights in the anti-apartheid movement, where basic needs were often denied to control the people. The geography of Jonglei State explains why the fighting is so intense. It is a massive area that connects the northern oil fields to the capital. Paget is a key strategic node located about 300 kilometers north of Juba. If the opposition holds Paget, they can threaten the regional capital of Bor. They can also cut off supply lines that the government needs to move troops and fuel. Therefore, the government views the recapture of Paget as a matter of national security. The distance between the battlefield and the capital is small enough to cause panic in Juba. While the fighting is often described as local or subnational, its effects are felt nationwide. The government relies on oil for 80% of its money. The war in neighboring Sudan has already damaged oil pipelines. If the conflict in Jonglei spreads further, the government could lose its last remaining source of income. This financial pressure is one reason the military is using such aggressive tactics. They need to secure the region quickly to keep the money flowing. In many ways, the fight is over who will be the real looters of the nation's natural wealth. The international community is watching this crisis with great concern. Under the leadership of President Donald Trump, the United States has remained a major donor of aid. However, there is growing frustration. The U.S. and its partners have spent billions of dollars on humanitarian help. Yet, the South Sudanese government continues to prioritize military spending over the needs of its people. Some funding has been paused to pressure leaders to follow the peace deal. The African Union has also called for an immediate stop to the John Lay offensive. They argue that it violates the permanent ceasefire agreed upon in 2018. Civil rights groups are calling for an end to the harassment of opposition leaders. They want to see a focus on education and development instead of war. Understanding how Black studies is distinct and important can help people understand these global struggles for freedom. Without international pressure and local accountability, the cycle of violence in John Lay is likely to continue. The history of South Sudan shows that peace cannot be won through a military offensive alone. Copyright African Elements.